sports listeners. I'm your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday.
This whole hour of Santa Barbara Teen Athletes. Woo! And we're talking all athletes.
Hello, listeners. What a beautiful morning we have this morning. I wanted to start off, first of all, thank everybody for tuning in today. Locally, all of our communities in Santa Barbara, we appreciate you. Globally, we definitely appreciate you. Here in our country, US of A, we've had a big impactful hit in April, having to do with Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, eastern part of California, Colorado, and parts of Louisiana. We had 373 tornadoes land in those states. So our thoughts and hearts and prayers go to those people that have been affected by that, and our teens and our teen athletes. And I could see it's viral all over, that the communities have, they're coming together, and our hearts and prayers on Santa Barbara are extended to you. Today we're going to have a great show. I'm really excited. We have Dr. Dale has come back, and Carolyn Givens from Givens Farms coming back. And a big part of this show is to give tips and tools to teens, and food and fuel is a big part of that. We want to get our future athletes understanding the importance of the fuel. So we're going to be talking, the theme of today's show is food freedom. And there's a couple acronyms, and I know because we're all versed, this is not our first rodeo over the last 14 years, but Dawn Sanders, I'm going to go to you first. Do you know what GAP stands for?
That would be good agricultural practices.
Yeah, we got to hit on that. Okay, it sounds good, but maybe not so good to the local farmer. Okay, well, we're going to get to that. How about this? How about we've got Ryan Quirk, our author of An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery. He's going to have a section a little bit later on today as well. Well, first of all, what does Ryan? What does CSA stand for?
Community supported agriculture.
Woo! And you're our teen vegetarian, so I know you focus on organic. Am I right?
Yes, organic is very important.
Nice, especially being the athlete that you are. So, are we up to chapter 7 in our book this week?
Yes, we are. Chapter 7. Let's go.
So we got the subtitle, Art of Appreciation, which is going to work right in and fold in right to our show. So let's do this. We've got Nick in the waiting room. He's waving. He's got to get to class. Let's do our SB 360. And then we'll be back with Carolyn Givens and Dr. Dale Figtree right after these messages.
Thanks, Erica. I'm Nick Jaden, and this is your SB 360 Weekly Sports Recap. Starting off with UCSB baseball, they played California Baptist this past Tuesday, where they lost 6-9. However, they picked it up this past weekend, where they beat UCSD all three times in their three-game series. With their last win coming on Sunday, starting pitcher Tyler Bremner picked up his 9th win of the season. He remains perfect as he has taken no losses so far. He went for 7 innings, allowed 2 hits, 1 walk, and had 8 strikeouts. First baseman Brendan Durfee went 2-for-4, helping the Gauchos put up 12 runs. They play Pepperdine on Tuesday and have a 3-game series against California State Bakersfield this weekend. Moving on to UCSB softball, they had 3 games against UC Riverside. They went 2-for-3, picking up both wins on Saturday. In those wins, Malaya Johnson, who was a starting pitcher, picked up her 4th win of the season. She is now 4-7. She allowed 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. However, the Gauchos gave up 5 errors, which allowed UC Riverside to stay in the game. First baseman Ashley Donaldson went 2-for-3 with an RBI, helping the Gauchos take down UC Riverside. They will now play their last 3-game series of the season against CSUN. Now taking a look at SBCC baseball, they had their first playoff series against Mount San Jacinto. They won both games in dominant fashion. They won 13-1 and 8-1. They will now be in the Super Regionals, where it is double elimination. They will now take on Santa Ana and Golden West. In the 13-1 win, starting pitcher Colton Dahl went 7 innings and allowed 1 earned run while also putting up 7 strikeouts. Sebastian Argelis, who is a shortstop, went 4-for-5 with 3 RBIs. So those two back players came up clutch in their playoff game. Moving to the beach volleyball court, SBCC had both pairs qualify for the state championships. Congrats to Ashley Rossi, Olivia Medina, Nevea Tillett, and Birdie Zevenbergen. Medina and Rossi also won the SoCal Para Regionals. Congratulations to our fellow Vaqueros. And also, a big congrats to our swimming and dive team for Santa Barbara City College. They won state for the first time in school history. So congrats to our VACs as they accomplished a significant feat. Well, that is it for your SB360 Weekly Sports Recap. Signing out, I'm Nick Jaden. Back to you, Erica.
Thank you, Nick.
Isn't he good?
He's great.
He's
love
so
his voice.
Good. We're going to see him on TV soon. I know it.
Woo!
And congratulations, Santa Barbara City College swim and dive state champion. First ever. Holy cow.
Woo!
We've got Carolyn Givens. She's up next along with Dr. Dale.
Something good or getting.
Along with Dr. Dale Figtree. And we're going to have some real talk, folks, about the challenges that our farmers here in our community are facing because of these new regulations that it's called GAP. Dominique.
Good agricultural practices. But the people who wrote the rules may not have ever been farmers.
Yeah. It's just going to be straight talk. It's going to be real talk. It's going to be what Teen Sports Radio does, as has been doing for the last 14 years. So let's get to it. Let's not wait. We've got commercials. We'll be back with more after these messages. This is Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dominique Hackett with Santa Barbara Wellness Center and Teen Sports Radio. And we are interviewing our favorite farmer, Carolyn Givens. Yay!
Carolyn, circle back around. I think I've known you for, I think we've gone on our 15th year. Dustin Aliano introduced me to you way back. He was training my kids when they were little peapots, probably about the size of your peapots now, maybe a little bit older. I think they were double digits at the time. I think John was like 9 and Joe was like maybe 12. But yeah, he said, oh, he kept on talking about you got to meet with, you got this radio show, you know, we got to talk about the food, you know, how forward. He was a very ahead of his time when it came to what his kids. Training his kids and what they were putting in their body. So, yeah, it's been a while.
You'll have to laugh. I saw CSA and support your local CSA. I didn't know what it was. CSA, you know, it's like another acronym. You got, you know, FBI, CIA, you know, IRS, CSA. And then when I found out, oh, community supported CSA, community supported
agriculture.
Agriculture. It's like, oh, I want to do that. CSA, good word. It's a good acronym.
It is.
We want to forward on that this acumen, the GAP, and that doesn't stand for clothes. Okay.
All right. So, reason why we are gathered.
We're gathered here today to talk about. Not clothes, but GAP.
So GAP is generally, go ahead, explain what GAP is for a farmer.
It's good agricultural practices under the guise of food safety. Basically a federal law that has, you know, many, many laws underneath it and practices that are outlined in an office in a government building about how, you know, what is safe and what is not when it comes to running a farm.
Now, did we vote on this? Is this something that our legislature voted on?
I didn't. I don't know. I don't know how it came about. It felt kind of sneaky. And the reason I like to raise my voice about it is because if you go to the grocery store, you're not going to hear about this. You know, your food is slowly turning to to Big Ag, which, you know, I really appreciate, you know, Earthbound and these massive organic companies who are trying to do the right thing. But I also really want to, you know, keep all our small farmers in business, because that when push comes to shove, those are the people who are supporting each individual community.
Exactly. I mean, worst case, especially for Santa Barbara, we know what it's like. We have had our highway, you know, 101 blocked from rain, and fire. We had the fire, we had the flood. So we know what it's like to have our community kind of landlocked. And thank goodness we have our local farmers, or we'd have a really bad situation. So we really need our local farmers, even for our earthquake preparedness programs.
Absolutely. And I mean, who doesn't want to eat fresh local produce? There's just, tell me who.
I love when I go to the farm to get my box. Number one, it makes me feel like a kid, because when I was a kid, that's what my parents did. We had Mrs. Swigert down the road. We went to her for the raw milk, raw butter. And yeah. I still remember the smell and the taste of the raw milk and the raw butter. Oh my God, it was so wonderful. And we got our fruits and vegetables from the farm stand. And so being able to do that, you know where your food's coming from. You can shake hands with your farmer and smile at them and say thank you. And then when you sit down to your meal, everything is fresh. I mean, everything is so different. It was just picked yesterday. It's fabulous.
So let me ask you this. So you were encouraged to set yourself up for an audit. Okay. You
a volunteer.
A volunteer audit. Okay.
Yeah. Step up or step out kind of volunteer so situation.
Your blog that you posted was the 24th of April. So what happened since that time?
Well, the audit hasn't actually happened yet. It's due to happen in a couple weeks. And in the meantime, there was another audit that happened that where the state has now, and it is so new. I'm only speaking to what happened last week. The state came out. Our farm was set as an example to be audited for, you know, food safety at a different level. So it's at a state level instead of a federal level. Not quite as rigorous, not quite as intense, but still listening to the audit makes you wonder, like, where these people are coming from and what they actually know about farming. Because it didn't
sound... Are any of them farmers? Have any of them owned farms? Worked on farms?
No. This is just like creating government jobs.
How can we have people making up laws that have nothing to do with the thing that they're making up a rule about? And I want to stress to people, there's a difference between laws and statutory regulations. Laws are something that you vote for your legislative or your congressional person. They put together a bill. They all come together. They work out the different nuances of the bill. They vote on it. Then it is signed by the governor or the president. And then that becomes law. These are statutory regulations. They're not necessary. They have the color of law, but they're not necessarily something that we voted for.
Yeah. And my only assumption is to think that, you know, someone did something wrong at some point, some large farm mismanaged, treated animals poorly, mismanaged their handled their produce, had some recalls, and someone stepped in to make this decision with no regard to farmers who are doing it the way it should be done. Because when you treat the land, when you are a steward of the land, when you are treating the earth and the soil with respect, nature does not punish you. Like, she takes care of you. She really looks out for you.
Yeah,
so
I see a difference. If you just have a small garden, if you fertilize at the right time or with organics, and you're good about your watering, you don't get pests. You only get pests when your plants get stressed out. So what you're saying is you're caring for the soil, and in the caring for the soil, the plants are healthy, and in that health, there are less pests, and you're able to do an organic farm.
Yeah, and that includes compost, and that includes animals, and in a big way. I think animals are being pushed off and I don't know if this is the right word, but almost criminalized. Like, you can't be on the land. You're making it like toxic, you know, and they're being pushed out and all these insane rules are being made. And now you have to hire a new person and you have to buy machines to print out labels to keep track of where everything is going. And you have to wash your hands every 10 minutes, like, not overstating it for exactly like that.
Do you know, there are some interesting studies about the soil in Easter Island. They found out that the soil in Easter Island contains some natural fungi that they realize are helping with Alzheimer's and help with longevity. In other words, that just walking on the earth is healthy for us, and our bodies are picking up minerals and energy and magnetism, picking up all sorts of things that are healthy for us as an organism. And what's happening in my mind is that we are sterilizing everything and not realizing that we live in a whole environment. And the whole environment taken as a whole is what keeps us healthy, not some sterile container.
We are nature.
Yeah, we are. We're all connected. How's this impacted you? So what can't you do that you used to be able to do?
Well, we've already been, we had a thriving wholesale business. That means that not only do we have our farmers market, which is about 25% of our, you know, sales, we also have wholesale, which runs a large majority and lets us really plant a multitude of things all year round. And we have been basically slowly but surely choked out of selling wholesale anymore, because in order to sell wholesale, you need to be GAP certified.
Wow.
So that now, whether you're an organic farm or you're not an organic farm, if you're not GAP certified, that means you can't participate in the farmers market, or you just can't participate in selling outside of California.
You just can't participate in selling anything besides farmers market. You can't, like, our local grocery stores aren't going to buy from us anymore. No one. And who knows if they'll come after farmers markets next. You know, that's definitely a fear that we have. Like, is that going to be the next thing that they come after?
Wow, this is frightening. The idea that you aren't able to sell to your local market. What the heck is going on? I thought we had, I have never heard of anyone reporting getting sick from something from your farm. That's accurate, ever. Right?
That is completely accurate.
You have no complaints. You have no evidence of anyone being sick. And yet they're doing all sorts of things to treating you like you're a criminal farm.
So the big chains, like the Taco Bell and everything, to bring that up, because I almost died in 2000. I was one of the, I survived, but six people in Santa Barbara died because of the lettuce, Taco Bell lettuce, if you're going way back, okay? I don't think they were GAP certified.
E. coli, I think. E. coli. Yeah.
And it's people like those people who are probably the reason that these things got started. And then they can be like, oh, people died. You know, we need to get these laws into action right now. You know, that's probably how they bypassed all everything, I imagine.
Yeah.
So how much is this seriously as far as your farm goes and the wonderful pricing that you have? And now all of a sudden, now you've lost your wholesale division, which, do you think you can get that back? Because, you know, what's going to be the model now if it's such a large, it wasn't most of your business, but it was a nice piece of your business.
It is a big chunk. It's a hefty chunk. And honestly, I can't answer that question. I don't know what's going to happen. We the audit is the middle of the month. So we're still selling wholesale now. If we don't pass for whatever reason, I can't say what's going to happen. Maybe the farm's going to have to become a lot smaller.
So is there a way that people can protest and say, hey, you know, please leave our local farmers alone?
That's a good question. So even though this has been around for a while, I've been kind of ignoring it because we haven't had to deal with it. And, you know, I'm like, everything's okay. You know, everything's not okay. And I think it's, you know, really what I know best is to just get out to your farmers markets, support local CSAs. And I'm sure that it can get bigger than this. Start talking about it. Start talking to people who know about how to, you know, talk to government officials and different things like that, because I'm just learning that too. And being able to really be here with you two today and spread the word has been really great for me, because on that end, I don't know what to do.
Hey there, Dr. Dale. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
We're talking to Carolyn and discussing how there are gap rules that are possibly, if you don't pass the audit, will prevent some of our local farmers from selling locally. And it's just, we're just aghast that there are all sorts of regulations that really have nothing to do with the healthiness of a farm, but are really based on some odd thing that happened probably in some big manufacturing farm, not necessarily an organic farm. And now they're creating crazy havoc. They don't realize the effect they're having on our local farmers.
So my question is, why hasn't somebody challenged this? Why hasn't somebody challenged it legally? Is that
probably
being done?
Because the farmers don't have enough resources to do so.
Exhausted. I mean, you go to a farmer who's trying to juggle GAP and the 8 trucks that they have and the 60 employees and the working 7 days a week. And like, I mean, they definitely hit the right crew because they're exhausted.
Someone needs to go to Oprah or somebody. I mean, this community has so many wealthy people that do go to the farmers market. I mean, maybe people just need to source their brains and try to figure out their connections and see if they can make a connection to one of these people that really could make a difference, because this is outrageous. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. Maybe 40 years ago, I heard that they were trying to pass a law that no doctor could say prescribe nutrition except registered dietitians, which are the
worst. I remember
that. The worst. And I thought, I'm out of it. I'm out of business. And when it came to pass in California law, the courtroom was so jammed with protesters, they threw it out. So it worked. It worked. It worked. And why doesn't this happen for this?
Yeah, I don't know how it's gone this far.
I want to take a quick little break. We're going to get back with Carolyn Givens, owner of Givens Farm, and Dr. Dale Figtree. And we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to do that right after these messages.
Good night, the light, and let it shine just on the night, like the 4th of July. Because baby, you're a
Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Welcome back. This is Dominique Hackett with Santa Barbara Wellness Center, and we are with Carolyn Givens with Something Good Organic. We are stressing the importance.
Got to add an S on organic.
Stressing the importance of supporting your local CSA program, and we're encouraging everyone to get out to your farmer's market and talk to all the different local small farmers. Hello, Dr. Dale. She's with us as well. We're talking about the GAP and how these regulations that are affecting our local agriculture are making it difficult for our small farmers to sell locally.
Carolyn, let's talk about, not to be picky, but I think if people just hear what you're saying, they're expecting of you, they'll be perplexed, perturbed. Okay, and maybe they'll.
What's one of the strangest rules that you're like, how are we going to do that?
Well, I mean, besides washing your hands every 10 minutes, besides never reusing a box, I think besides chlorinating the water that is now washing our vegetables, one thing I heard is, you know, when someone chops a bunch of parsley, they have to put a twist tie around it. So they put the knife in their pocket, they put it on the ground, they put it under their arm. No. The knife needs to go back into the plastic sheath after every cut, because you don't want something between the air and the soil touching the plant, or, you know, it's just, I don't even get it. I don't even understand. But the, you know, when they're cutting these, are you trying to go as fast as possible to bunch something up, get it, twist tie it, put it in a box, and now they have to put the knife in the sheath and they have to wash their hands if they get them dirty. And that's kind of one of the things that threw me off last week.
So are there any scientific studies as the basis for all these? Do they, you know, direct you to where you can study a peer reviewed paper on it?
No, but that's a good question. I'm definitely going down that road.
I mean, because I've seen a lot of peer-reviewed papers that talk about how we are using the antibacterial soap on our hands too much. And we're actually damaging the biology around us and in impacting our immune systems negatively.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree. I think that it's just inviting more chemicals into the food, into our clothes, into our mouths. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Everything you've been telling me so far is introducing more chemicals.
I mean, I took consumer chemistry when I was in Cal Poly Pomona, and I was astounded of how all of our cleaning agents produce depression, and that a lot of the depression during our COVID era was actually because we were over cleaning the environment for our children, and our children were being exposed to all these cleaning agents. And that was increasing the depression on children.
Yeah, completely destroys the microbiome of the gut, which regulates our emotions. I mean, you're killing the very thing that's keeping you alive.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, people need to understand, your gut biome is not 100% all hunky-dory. It's 20-80. You got the bad guys and the good guys. And that balance is actually what keeps you healthy.
If we want to flip it on the other side of this, Carolyn, is, do you think that the relationship between government regulators and the organic farm could be better harmonized to support both safety and ecological sustainability? I mean, is there, you say, hey, okay, well, this is ridiculous, but you know what we could do? And then this way it'd be better for the farmer and better for the government and better, better, better. I mean, because a lot of times when you, government is big, strong power. You know, they want to step on you like a cat on a mouse, right? And if you're sitting there being the mouse and say, you know, namaste, you know what I'm saying? With barefoot, okay? In your organic apple, okay? I mean, maybe you could say, hey, you know, I got an idea. Okay?
How about a middle road?
How about, yeah.
What yeah, about, I mean.
How about we do a study? You know, show me.
Right. Let my farm be that. I will submit.
I'll be the beta test.
I'll be the beta test. Let my farm be the beta test. And then we'll see. And maybe we can take care of everybody. It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I always point towards the Amish farms, because the Amish farms try very hard to stay away from electricity and just be a tight-knit community and have good husbandry and good farm practices, and they're an excellent counter to what's going on in our environment. And from what I understand, their life expectancy is increasing and our life expectancy is decreasing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd love to be able to, you know, sit down, invite government employees in and really work something out. Now, I could be wrong. I could be a little far-fetched, but it feels to me that our government is more run by big food and big pharma. So it's really hard to talk sense into people whose bottom line is being controlled by something completely different than my self-interest or the interest of the farm, the ecosystem, the health of the people. That doesn't make them the money that they've been collecting.
It's almost like, and I'm not a Chumash person because of the gambling aspect, but I am a Chumash person because of how they love the land. They've been people here for thousands and thousands and thousands
over 2,000 years
in this country. It's kind of like, okay, well, partner with Chumash. Watch, Eric is going to get such hate mail for this. Then you're a nation, an Indian nation, and GAAP does not apply.
Is there any chance to talk to the tribal nations and see how all of this is affecting them and see if they have any influence?
You know what? I haven't thought about that. I mean,
let's go. You gotta go. Kate, I'm just the secretary. I don't know where it comes from, but
I think it's beautiful. Someone who's been really a steward of the land, you know, long before us, and has, I'm sure, a long lineage of taking care of this land. You know, I would love to gather with people in our community and see how we can get past this. It feels really heavy. I'm not going to lie. It feels a lot bigger than I know what to do with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that really, this doesn't sound like it's based on science. It feels like the usual things I have watched in the last 30 years, most of the companies that started out with pure products in small health food stores get bought up by Kellogg and get bought up by big companies, Kraft. And then the products start having additives and they change things. Because the farmers markets do such good business, the more they do, the more it causes big business to want to control them. And yes, reap the product, the profits. I think that's the bottom line. Honestly, I do not think this has to do with health.
No, it does not.
I know our consumer dollars speak loudly. So I'm encouraging our community, please support the CSA program. Go to your farmer's market, meet your farmer, and buy your food directly from the person you can shake hands with who has picked your food just the other day. Please support your small farmers.
Anything else that you want to share, Carolyn?
Yeah, I mean, supporting small farmers is such a full circle, right? Like your money is staying within the community. It's really like being used to create these open spaces for wildlife. You know, the animals are truly the stewards of the land. And helping to like hopefully open up and encourage new farmers to start too, right? We don't want to see this die. And unfortunately it's not just GAAP, it's housing, it's cost of wages. It's like, it's on all sides. So really like getting out there and spending your money with farmers, it goes farther than you can even possibly imagine.
All I want to do is just talk about it. We need to have a sit down and have a discussion. Because this, I can't imagine what Santa Barbara's had so many things being taken away from us. And I don't, you know.
To lose our small farms would just be.
This is a hill that we need to all want to die on. This is not okay. And I'm so thankful to have Dr. Dale here with us. She knows a lot of people. she's not going to like this. So, and I know we have a lot of people listening to this show. So. Anyway, I thank you so much for everything you do, Carolyn. You know how much Dominique and I love you, support you, and Dr. Dale, you as well. We've got to go. We've got a lot more. Stay tuned for more after these messages.
I hear a song that takes me back, and I let go with so much freedom. With so much.
Hour Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
For Teen Sports Radio, I'm Don Sanders. Don'sMassageOhi.com, 805-236-2684. And I wanted to bring you a hygge, which is a Scandinavian term for a feeling of comfy coziness that is somewhat like receiving a physical hug without receiving the physical hug. Last time I talked about the danger of knowledge without wisdom. So as kind of a corollary, I wanted to talk about literature and reading. As we all know and see today, many young people now are abandoning books for perpetual use of their devices. And it isn't very structured, thoughtful reading necessarily. It's sometimes just little bits here and there. And it's not really, you know, my mentor who died last year used to often talk about the importance of studying great literature. Matter of fact, in his youth, he published a list of all the great literature he had read. And I was fortunate enough to become a reader when I was young. It's really good to learn how to read and then to read great things when you're young, and then you'll hopefully keep the habit for life. I had four kids, and my two daughters have both become readers, and I think they'll be that way for life. So my mentor Daisaku Ikeda said, literature is the study of humanity. Actually, contrary to what one may think, reading literature can greatly enhance the study of science. If science is all someone focuses on, his thinking will become very mechanical. We are only fully human when we possess not only intelligence, but emotion and sensitivity. Literature is the oil that greases the wheels of the mind. Many tragedies have occurred because this has been largely forgotten. If national leaders know nothing but science, It may well be that they will think only of building weapons. Knowing great literature breathes life into our humanity. Literature derives from the human spirit. And so I could attest to that because, as I said, I was fortunate enough to get the habit of reading, had tons of time on my own as an only child. And I think it's the most important. It's one of the most important things that now people are starting to fundamentally get away from, and in some places in our country, there's been ban on books. There's been a ban on great literature. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's got an award-winning journalism column, he's been writing about this, and many others who are concerned because they know the value of being able to have access to the great minds that, over centuries. I mean, we can crack a good book, a good novel, and we can learn so many things about the human heart. We can hear, the active mind of great thinkers that lived thousands of years ago, So I'm putting in a plug here today for all the young people to take some time out from the phone, the cell phone, or the computer, and go over to Chaucer's and grab yourself one of the classics. They have them organized. And the thing about Chaucer's is they don't always get tons of books in stock. Now, what they do is you go to customer service and they will actually order one to be printed for you. Like that way, I think, they can't afford to carry so much inventory as they used to do. But for all you Santa Barbara teens, after practice or after school, stop by Chaucer's and get yourself one of the classics. I heartily recommend that you become a reader for life.
Nice. Ryan, you're a reader. I know you are.
Yes. Yeah. So I think one of the big things, Don, there is when it comes to reading and convincing young kids to read is a lot of them go, so what? There's movies, TVs, and stuff like that. But the reason I think reading is so valuable is you have authors who will have comprised their entire life's work of what can be decades in 200, 300, 400 pages, which you can get through in a few weeks, which means that you can learn what took someone else 30 years to learn in 3 weeks. There is no better source of information than books. Even podcasts and all these wonderful new media streams are amazing. They're incredible, but they don't offer the same bang for your buck that buying a $15, $10, $20 book can. And also, you can pick up my book, An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery, at Chaucer's in Santa Barbara if you want to learn something about yourself.
Yay.
Good job. I love it.
And you, with a great grasp of podcasts, are also a reader.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? You're up next. Ryan Quirk, right after these messages. Run through the jungle.
We are back, and this is Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Hello, I'm Ryan Quirk here with Teen Sports Radio, author of An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery, How to Master Your Life from the Inside Out, available at Chaucer's in Santa Barbara, also available on Amazon, An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery. If you want to learn something about yourself and what it means to live an extraordinary life, definitely check that out. Today, we're going to be talking about Chapter 7 from my book, The Subtle Art of Appreciation. And appreciation is so powerful because when we're feeling and when we move into a state of appreciation by using the words thank you constantly, you know, thank you for all the little things in my life. Thank you for the clothes on my back, the home that I have, all these other things. It's actually impossible to simultaneously be in a state of pessimism or anger or fear, right? So the more and more we cultivate this state of appreciation by reminding ourselves to say thank you and feel thankful for the wonderful things in our lives, even when we're going through challenges, to still even find gratitude in just the smallest of things, we start to move into a state of peak performance. Any athletes out there, young athletes who are listening, if you ever struggle with pregame jitters and getting nervous before your games, try just appreciating and tuning back to that feeling of thankfulness that you even get to be there. There's a lot of people who would love and even kill to be in the position that you're in, to be young and healthy and alive and get to play the sport that you love. And when we put things into that perspective, life becomes very rich. People often say, what is the secret to lasting success and happiness? And quite simply, it's practicing appreciation for our lives, because until we acknowledge the blessings that are already in our life and what we already have, then nothing else will be enough. But when we acknowledge that, we put ourselves into a beautiful state of being of happiness, contentment, and ease and peace, where we're actually able to attract more success into our lives. So any young athletes listening, anyone listening, really, just practice saying the words thank you more often. When you take a shower, give thanks. I mean, the fact that you have nice warm running water is a blessing. You know, when you have your next meal, say thank you before that meal. This lowers the amygdala activation in the brain, the fear center of the brain, and puts us into a very beautiful state of being that just makes life much more wonderful. You know, our emotions are the lens that we can never take off when we look at our life. If you're wearing glasses, you know, like sunglasses, you know that when you put them on, everything around you appears tinted. If they're like a little tinted blue, the whole world appears blue. And so in the same way, our emotions are the lenses that we can never take off when we look at our life. So when we move into a state of appreciation, we suddenly see the beauty, the joy, and the wonder that was really all around us, but maybe we were previously blind to. I know, Dawn, you practice a lot of meditation and mindfulness and stuff like that. I know appreciation is a big part of the Buddhist tradition. What do you have to say about the power of appreciation, the art of appreciation?
Well, I've been nodding my head with everything you've been saying. It's like there is no substitute for being able to appreciate. We're all going to be challenged. Everybody, you know, human beings are, you know, we can be up and down like yo-yo. So I like what you said. You have to make this a practice. You know, that's my practice of chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. It's in there, you know, that, you know, to be able to generate the life force no matter what's happening.
Nice. Dawn, thank you so much. I've got to say thank you to you and Ryan and Dr. Dale Figtree and Carolyn Givens and the farm and the box that I get to pick up every week. And I never want that to change. So please be a part of your local CSA program. Okay. And let's keep these farms, small farms, in business. All right. Please. Dr. D, what do you want to say?
Oh, I couldn't agree more, and I know that we'll be talking about this on the Farm to Table Hour, which actually follows this program Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m., so we certainly hope that folks will get out to the various markets across the county, but you know, we're talking about unless you're growing all of your own food in your own garden, I think this is a serious subject that needs to be addressed, needs to be talked about.
Thank you, Dr. D. Your support is huge. God bless Santa Barbara. Hug it out. Buy local. See you next week.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a butcher with no brakes. I'm invincible. responsible. Yeah, I win every single game.